Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is that time again, that time for you to join me here on the Council of Trent podcast. I am your host, Trent Horn, staff apologist and writer for Catholic Answers. And today, as promised from last week's episode, we're going to talk about social media. I've had a few people ask me this in various contexts. How do I share the faith? How do I defend the faith using social media? What brought this to my attention the most were people doing this badly. And I have been one of them. I have been one of them where I go online and I am just the Catholic commando out to destroy other arguments that I find on the internet. You've probably seen this. There's a great cartoon online. It has a little stick figure guy, and he's sitting in his computer, folding his hands underneath his chin, looking at the computer. And his wife, you can see a little text bubble. She's in the bedroom saying, "Honey, come to bed." And the stick figure guy sits there and he goes, "I can't. There's someone wrong on the internet." Of course, there's going to be lots of people like that. There's lots of things wrong on the internet, from what people say, what they post, and some of it can be pretty harsh and brutal related to our faith, both its doctrines and the moral teachings we hold as Catholics. So what do we do when we are the little stick figure man who come across people who are wrong on the internet? Do you want to be the Catholic commando that goes out there to savage them, or do you want a more effective approach? So what really brought this to my attention and want to talk to you about it this week was John Sorensen, our director of operations here at Catholic Answers. He came to me and he said, "Trent, it's really hard sometimes on our social media. I'll look there and I'll find people who will just be really mean or cruel or just vicious in responding to non-Catholics on the Facebook channel. And then the non-Catholics come to us and say, 'Hey, why aren't you guys policing all these people? I mean, try policing the internet.' And we do that. We do correct people where we can, but there's just so many places, not just including Catholic Answers social media, but our own forums. There's something like 11 million posts on there. And we do our best to police things whenever anyone flags something or brings it to our attention. But what I want to talk about today is something more of a preventative measure, how to keep people from acting like this in the first place. In fact, just a few weeks ago, one of my articles that I wrote for the Catholic Answers magazine was put on the online edition. It was shared on Facebook. And I noticed an exchange between some people and an atheist who was reading the article. And the atheist just made a criticism of it. He just referenced Wikipedia, actually, to say that I had made an error in my reasoning. And then other people start to chime in and say, "You know, well, did you read the article? No, he's just an atheist. Maybe you should get your philosophy from somewhere other than Wikipedia." And they start ganging up on the guy, and then other people come to his defense. And it just left a really bad taste in my mouth as I read going through what was happening here. I'm like, well, why are they interacting with this guy and throwing these barbs? Why not ask him serious questions about what he disagrees with in the article? Instead of coming off right the bat, "Well, you're just an atheist, you wouldn't read this." I jumped to another post and saw people saying, "Don't bother responding to him, he's just a troll." And some people may be trolls, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you just say that someone who disagrees with you and won't agree with you after you put forward one comment is a troll, well, that's not a helpful term. That becomes a term of disparagement that keeps the conversations from being fruitful. So I saw this, and then I decided to wade in, and I said, "Hey, I'm glad that you posted here. Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Here's a question about my argument. It was about the first cause of the universe. There are three options, it seems, when it comes to this question. Which one do you think is the most plausible?" And the guy responded. He said it was a pleasure to speak with me. He didn't think that I would. And then we had a good back and forth going there for a bit. Now, this was actually before I had to jump on a plane to go to Europe for the Catholic Answers River Cruise. I was on a plane. I remember this. If you look in the comments, I had to go because I was just getting really, really poor internet reception on this plane. And so I was riding in here. And then other people were jumping in there at the end saying, "You know, you haven't refuted Trent and, you know, you're just ignoring his evidence, this or that. Still waiting for the substance of your arguments, buddy." And the guy said, "Mr. Horn's given me all you know, all the substance I could ever want. It's been very helpful. So then I have to wade back in. And here's where it's hard. I say, hey, look, to this other Catholic or whoever this person is, thanks for being in the discussion, but why don't we just take it down a notch and let's all have a nice chat? Because, of course, when you want to correct someone, there's always, you always want to do it with a sense of charity. And I'm open to that, too. Obviously, I could engage. I could be having a bad day and be turning all my guns against somebody, and I may be in a position where I need to be corrected. And I have been corrected for, in other recordings or contexts, maybe being too militant or outspoken and lacking somewhat of a gracious tone. And that's helpful because we're all human and we need to be corrected if we're going down a path that we shouldn't be going down. And so that's what I hope to do with the podcast today, to talk about social media and how to use it well and times where we don't use it well in sharing the faith and how to be aware of that. So what I want to do is break this down into three different parts when it comes to using social media to share the faith. When to start, what to share, and when to stop. Very simple, right? I mean, that's the path we all follow. When do I start using social media or certain aspects of social media to share our faith or engage in apologetics? What should I share or what should I do in the midst of that? And then when do I call it quits? When do I turn off the computer and resume the normal life that I should be having? So when to start? A principle you should remember is this, what Jesus says in Matthew 7:6. He says to don't give what is holy to dogs. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So don't give pearls to swine. What does that mean? Well, it means don't profane what is holy. And there's a lot of symbolism here because swine and dogs were often symbolic references in the ancient world to the Gentiles. And so Jesus, of course, believed in dining with tax collectors and sinners. He brought his whole mission to the Gentiles, but appealing to the Jewish sentiment of not to take what is holy and what is good, true, and beautiful, and giving it to people who have demonstrated that they have no care at all for what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. And what comes up on online forums or in social media is when we take what is good, true, and beautiful, we take an argument, we take the time we want to put in to defend the faith, and we share it with people who have no intention whatsoever to carefully consider it, or very, very little intention to do so. Rather, they have a knee-jerk response to want to criticize us back and win the argument. And so we shouldn't take what is true, good, and beautiful in our faith and waste our time with it. Now, the rejoinder I'll hear is, but wait, shouldn't we evangelize everyone? Matthew 28:19 says, make disciples of all nations. Does that mean we make disciples only of people who are going to be responsive to us? Are we supposed to ignore the trolls, the people who are on the internet that want to just get your goat and are insulting or offensive? Do we just write those people off as being damned and don't bother to try to save them? No, not at all. But we have to understand that each of us, when we evangelize, when we share the faith, we have limited time and limited resources to do that. We're like the hospital in the triage, you know, we're like a triage doctor. So if you're ever at a big disaster scene, you know, or war or something like that, or, you know, there's a 20-car pileup and you're the only doctor there and the injured are being brought to you, you have to do triage. You have to decide, who can I save? If I devote my resources here, it makes no sense for me as a doctor to spend all my resources on somebody who, in all statistical likelihood, is going to die when I could give these resources to five of these other people here who I've got a decent chance of saving. Now, if I can save them and I've saved a lot of people and I'm left with the one person who's near death and I have no one else to respond to, then maybe I can move on to him in triage. But it's the same when we're dealing with people online, that there are going to be people who are blinded by hatred, by sin, by trauma, by something that happened in their past that makes them angry when they talk to someone who's Catholic or Christian, and they're not going to want to hear what we share with them. Then there are other people who are on the fence. They may have their baggage too, but they're willing to listen. They're willing to have that conversation. So there's much more hope there. And if you have time, you should invest it in people who are willing to receive your time, not turn around and trample it and turn and attack you. So Matthew 7:6. So the things that we are offering, it's not literal gold or jewels or things like that, but something even much more valuable, the gospel itself and the time and energy we have to share the gospel. And so what's happened to me, and I always fall into this mistake, there is a particular atheist blog. I read all kinds of different blogs so I can be in the know of what's going on. And I recommend you, if you want to have a well-rounded sense of the world so that you can respond to people and dialogue with them online, it's helpful to read blogs and articles and news sources that aren't a part of your own worldview. Reading an atheist blog, reading Protestant blogs, for example. And so there's this one atheist blog in particular that I read, and the stereotypical angry atheists tend to congregate there. And every now and then, I go against my best judgment, I leave a comment, and people just attack the comment or attack me, don't bother to listen to it, bring up things that are irrelevant, and I can never get them back on the main point again. And I end up wasting 30 minutes or an hour, and I vow to never do it again. And so sometimes every now and then I'm sucked in, and I try hard not to. So try to be aware of that, of when to start to either to jump into comment sections or Facebook posts. If you already have kind of a warning light that, oh, this is probably not going to go well at all, these people aren't willing to listen, they are of the personality type of attack rather than listen, then I would say prayerfully consider using your time and your energy somewhere else where you might have a better chance. The internet is a big place. It's a very big place to do that. So on the one hand, that would be starting it on another person's turf, like comment boxes, replies on another person's Facebook page. But then there's also on your own turf, you know, your own social media. Maybe you have a YouTube channel, a Twitter page, Facebook, Instagram. I'm not sure what else is out there. I'm pretty far and behind. People have told me to get an Instagram. I'm not even really sure what that is. It just looks like fun people on vacation going to old sepia-toned places. I don't know. So on your own social media, the when to start, you should just try to make sure that if you're going to post something to get people to engage it, such as a status update, a question, something like that. Number one, make sure you're not becoming a victim of opportunism. That don't use, especially like a tragedy or something bad that's happened, to try to put your cause front and center. Like if there's some kind of a shooting and you think to yourself, hey, people are caring a lot about violence, I better tell them about violence to the unborn. And violence to the unborn, we need to talk about that. I'm all in favor of talking about that online. But be careful. Ask yourself, what is the other person going to think when I do this? Are they going to think, this violence has given me an opportunity to put my pet cause out there? Well, they're going to be called opportunistic and people will be less likely to hear you. Now, if there's something relevant, you see there's something in the news that has a relevant logical connection to the issue you care about, boom, you've got your opportunity. Go and take it. But before you do, I'd also recommend this. If you're going to post something on Facebook or Twitter, take a moment to pause and think before you do it. Walk away, literally walk away from the keyboard before you hit post. Take even 5 minutes, 5 minutes to go on a short walk. Ideally, it should be, you know, 10 or 15 minutes or something like that. I have found that to be helpful because when you take a break and step away, you can say, oh, that could be taken the wrong way. That could be taken the wrong way. I could formulate my thought better if I phrase it another way, or, oh, I don't really need to put that in there. That's not relevant to it. A lot of times we live in an age when it comes to social media, we think, I got to be the first one out there. I got to have this awesome status that people are going to tweet and retweet and share and comment on, and I got to get it up there right now. No, you don't. You have time. You can opine and comment about things in 30 minutes, a day later, even a week later. I know that seems like ancient history on the internet, but it is better, it's always better to fail to post something awesome than to post something that's awful. Think of it that way. It's always better to have missed out on an opportunity to put something awesome on the internet than to have accidentally or purposely put something awful on the internet. Because here's the thing, when you put it on the internet, it stays there forever. Even if you put it up and you realize it's a mistake and you take it down, there's a good chance someone may do a screenshot, a screen grab, and it's stuck there and you have to deal with that and deal with the fallout from it. It reminds me of that woman a few years ago. She made a joke. She's going to South Africa. She's like, hope I don't get AIDS. Oh, I'm white. It's okay. And then she got on a plane. But she didn't realize, so she didn't have internet on the plane. 13 hours go by. Tens of thousands of people retweet this, call her racist. And they even had this hashtag, has Justine landed yet? And then she sees her phone, lands, realizes she's in a world of hurt. So before you start a discussion online by posting something on social media or sharing an article, I'm going to share this, just walk away. Even for a few minutes, allow you to recollect your thoughts to see, is this a good idea? But part two, what to share? What should I share with people? How do we do this? First, remember these four letters, TLDR. Too long, did not read. That if you want to be effective on the internet, people's attention span has been destroyed by popular media. When I used to do youth ministry, we had been conditioned to do activities in 7-minute segments because that's how long television shows were until commercial breaks. Now, I don't even think the 7-minute rule applies because people don't usually watch television. They watch, they'll watch streaming things on internet. But somehow television has gotten good. It's changed enough in a way to keep people going long term. But they'll go on the internet. They'll watch a YouTube video for 30 seconds. They'll jump to a blog for a minute. They'll jump to another YouTube video. So it's weird. In some cases, you can go on streaming services and you'll get your attention held for hours on end. But on the internet, people will jump around between things in 10 seconds. So I'd recommend avoiding large blocks of text, large things that you write, unless you can do it in a good way. So think about streaming. People will watch hours and hours of TV if it's done well. And I think that's the same for things like blogs. But of course, the longer you get, especially when you go past like 1,000 words, people really stop reading. Unless you break it up well. That's why the humor website Cracked is pretty smart. They'll do things like 5 terrible celebrity cameos from 80s movies that you forgot about. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Now, each one might have 200 or 300 words. If you break it up into segments, 5, 6, 7, 10, whatever it may be, with pictures and good things to break it up, you keep people's attention. And so that's my advice for you. If you like to share the faith by blogging or writing online articles, consider breaking things up in a compelling way so that people will be able to follow and read it easier instead of clicking on your article or your post. Even on Facebook, if you've got a long thing to say, but you can break it up into 5 bullet points, people are more likely going to read it. But keeping things short, I think, is the most helpful thing to do. So what I do when I'm on social media is I just try to ask people short questions or questions that have specifically 2 or 3 options you can choose from and see what they pick. Or I'll just ask them, what's your evidence for that? How do you know that that's true? And I just try to do short questions and I stay on the focus of the conversation. I try to stay on what it is, because what will happen is you'll ask questions, and as someone begins to be backed into a corner or they're forced to provide evidence for an assertion and they can't, then they'll want to jump to something else. Or someone else will jump in. Maybe you're on a comment thread and 3 or 4 people are responding to you. What do you do? I mean, you can try to be Mr. Miyagi, like in Karate Kid, and he pummels those 5 guys. But then when, you know, maybe you're not Mr. Miyagi. Maybe you're Daniel-san. Daniel-san, wax on, wax off. And Daniel-san's still learning. I think we're all really more Daniel-san than Mr. Miyagi. And, you know, when there's the scene where Mr. Miyagi takes Daniel-san to the Cobra Kai dojo. Speaking of Netflix, they actually rebooted that. It's now, I think it's called Cobra Kai. And it has Daniel LaRusso and, what's his name? Johnny. It was Johnny from Karate Kid, and as they're adults, but that's a tangent. So the point, though, is when Mr. Miyagi takes Daniel-san to the evil Cobra Kai dojo, the Cobra Kai leader, who's kind of a poor man's David Hasselhoff, as I remember from the movie, he says, what's the matter? The kid can't take care of himself? Can't win a fair fight? 1-on-1, fair fight. 5-against-1, not fair. You know, 5-against-1, no one expects to win. Because, you know, the Cobra Kai gang jumps Daniel-san, 5 of them in their skeleton outfits. The point I'm making is that sometimes when you're online, you're in these comments, you will get ganged up on. Number one, don't gang up on people. If you're on the Catholic Answers thread and you see somebody being ganged up on, wade in there and help them. But if you're ganged up on, you can say, look, I want to have a good conversation, but I can't answer all of your questions. I can't answer all of them because that's too confusing. So I'm going to answer so-and-so's questions because I want to have a good discussion. And you're in control. You're in control of what you write. And so if you do that and just say it, say the reason is I want to have a good discussion, then there you go. You're able to do that. Also, just avoid character attacks. Not even character attacks, but pointing out that somebody is rude. There is a time and a place for that. Like, if someone is just being rude and disrespectful to you, you can just say to the person, I'd like to have a good conversation with you, but if you're going to be rude in our conversation, why should I continue? But if you say, I expect that from someone who's bigoted or ignorant like you, that's pouring gasoline on the fire. If you do your job well and ask good questions and demand answers from the other person and say, well, no, don't get us on this tangent, answer the question that I have, you will demonstrate, anyone reading that thread will see, oh, this other person, this guy the Catholic was responding to, he was a real jerk about it. You don't need to point that out. Some other things to watch out for when you're on social media is to get into the tendency of being all wrapped up in the conversation. One thing that wraps us up, and this is something I have fallen prey to, others have done to me, is fisking. Fisking is named after the British journalist Robert Fisk. He's still alive, actually. He was one of the few journalists, English-speaking journalists, he also speaks Arabic, who interviewed Osama bin Laden. He's written a lot of articles about Middle Eastern policy. And what he was known for was when people would criticize him, he would take their criticisms and dissect it line by line, showing how wrong they were and just savaging what they wrote and just line by line showing everything what they said was wrong. And so on the internet, that's called fisking. If someone takes what you've written, dissects it line by line, and then what happens is you want to fisk the guy who fisked you. And then it's just an eye for an eye and everybody's blind. There's a place for that. I mean, I have written articles where I critique other people, and I think there is a place for this. But when people are fisked, they just feel like you're at war with them, like you're trying to destroy them. And so I think it's better to focus instead on the main point of disagreement and not try to point out every single error a person is making. Because if somebody pointed out every single error you made, well, they're going to get defensive. They're not going to want to talk about what they want to talk about. The other thing to watch out for is sometimes you may not want to go back and forth, but you'll say, oh, well, I'll share this with you. I'll share an article with you that backs up my position. Remember here that not all sources on the internet are created equal. I had a friend, actually, who thought that President Obama had banned the Pledge of Allegiance, and they were going to share this online, and it was like from a website, abcnews.news.com. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not ABC News. That is a fake news website. So if it sounds too good or crazy to be true, check it against multiple news sources. But also, even if it's legitimate, remember, if you're sharing a source with someone, try to find one as close to their worldview as you can. Now, sometimes you can't. If you're trying to share what the Catholic Church teaches, there's very few atheist websites who do that accurately. You'll want to share something from Catholic.com. But if there's a news article or a fact that supports your position, if you can find a neutral source, neutral in quotation marks, you know, like NPR or Wikipedia or whatever it may be, or even a source that's oftentimes hostile to what we believe, like Planned Parenthood's own website. That can go a long way because you can say, hey, I'm citing from people that you agree with. All right, so we've talked about how to start the conversation, what to do during it, which I would say stick to short questions, stay focused, you know, avoid direct attacks or fisking. Try to keep things short and sweet. And your goal, remember, is not to change the person's mind. It's to plant a little seed to grow in the soil of their mind, a pebble in their shoe, just to give them something to think about. And if you can do that, you've accomplished a great deal. When to start, what to share, when to end. When do you decide to end this? Well, remember, back to the first thing I mentioned, you got to make careful use of your time. Your time is a valuable, precious thing that God gave you. You only have very few hours a week to use it to evangelize. Most of it's consumed with sleeping and working, or sleeping and schoolwork, or family time. Very little bit to use for evangelization, so you have to make careful use of it. When you feel that the point you made, that you have made your point, it is done, and the same points are being brought up again and again, now you're going in a circle. And sometimes I say, you know, I think we're at an impasse. I've shared my position. I hope you can think about it. And, you know, I hope you have a really blessed day. Don't worry about having the last word. That's something, and this has happened to me too. You're in a comment discussion that starts to feel like a debate, and you're going back and forth, and you feel like, oh, I got to get the last word. If I can post something and they don't say anything, I won. That's silly. That's silly that if someone looks at this thread, they're going to see the winner is the guy who spoke last. That's silly. That doesn't mean anything at all. Because I've ended things, say, here, I've shared this with you, and I hope this is helpful. And then that's it. That's the end of it. And if they write more, I could say, sorry, I don't have enough time to devote to this anymore, and I wish you well. That people do not have a right. People do not have a right to your time. It's your time. And let them know that. Say, no, I'm sorry, this was fun and entertaining, but you know, I've said enough. And they'll try to goat you and goad you. Oh, you're afraid, or oh, you're an ignorant Catholic. You're yellow, you know, like in Back to the Future, when all the incarnations of Biff say to the McFlys, you're nothing but a chicken, you're yellow. And then, you know, Marty McFly turns around. Nobody calls me chicken, Biff. Nobody. That's my Doc, you're telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean? That's the best Marty McFly that I can do for you. Don't let them get to you. Find the peace that Christ has given us, the comfort he's given us so that we can comfort others, and rest in that. And say, you know, I shared my faith and they're still responding. I think I've given them enough to think about. That's the best I can do here. And ultimately, we have to put people first. That when we respond to people, I don't do this a lot on social media with comments because I think the success rate is very, very low. Because personal interactions are always more successful than impersonal ones. For example, when I did pro-life missionary work, I had to raise my own money. I had to raise my own salary. And we were taught the conversion rates for asks. So, you know, you ask somebody money to do mission work. There's different ways you can ask them. Like you could send somebody an email that says, hi, will you give money for me to do my mission work? And you can rank them on impersonal to personal. So the most personal would be the meeting. I would set up an interview, go sit down with a person, talk to them, then ask them in person to donate to my mission work. And the most impersonal would be an email I send to them and about a million other people. And which is more effective? Well, the personal, I think there was something like a 25% conversion rate that one out of every four people I had an interview with would agree to donate to my mission work. For emails, I think it was like 0.01%. That means like one in 1,000 people would give money to that through an email. So of course, you'd say, well, why do people do emails if there's such a low conversion rate? Well, because if you have a gigantic list and you can send out emails to a million people, if you're a giant company, you can reliably make money and not spend a lot of time. Now, if you don't have a lot of people to talk to online, your conversion rates are going to be very low. And I just mean getting people to be open to the faith. Obviously, it's the Holy Spirit that converts, not us. We provide opportunities for that. So what I learned from that is in person, I think, is always much more effective. So one thing that can be helpful then is, well, am I supposed to have coffee with all these people I speak to on the internet? No. In fact, some cases I'd say be careful about people you meet on the internet. Otherwise, you remember that old show To Catch a Predator? You know, NBC's Chris Hansen. I'm Chris Hansen. This is To Catch a Predator. Well, so what are you doing here tonight talking to a 13-year-old girl on the internet? Why don't you have a seat? So hilarious clips on YouTube of that show, by the way. No, but what you can do is maybe say, hey, I like talking to you, but maybe I could just email you more about this. So I could get your email address or leave you a link for that or something like that to set up a private conversation. Because I think you'll see people act way different, even in a private email versus a public thread, because they know other people are reading this. And just to meet people where they are at and to always pray for them, that we should always pray for people we interact with, including on the internet, and pray before we write. Say, Lord, give me the words to share that are your words, not mine alone. Help me to treat this person with dignity and respect and to live out what St. Paul tells us in Colossians 4:6. He says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer every one. A good thought to leave on, and I hope that you will use this in your interactions on social media. And by the way, if this has been helpful for you and you want other people to hear about this, then I hope that you'll go online to the Council of Trent podcast, go to iTunes or Google Play, and leave a written review, just a few words. It really helps people learn more about the podcast. And if you support it, we'll be able to do a whole lot more. I actually just finished two scripts for videos, and these are going to be cool videos. I want them to be animated. I want them to be engaging, that these are videos we produce that you'll want to share and send to everybody, because that's how people are getting their content online now. And if you had these, you could share them and then say, what do you think? And the social media evangelism will continue. So if you want to support the websites, we have the funds to create these videos. I would greatly appreciate that. Just visit TrentHornPodcast.com. And if you support the podcast, you will get access to great bonus content, extra podcasts, all kinds of wonderful things, and a great t-shirt with my likeness on it. Who wouldn't enjoy that? So thank you guys once again for being here this week, and I hope you all have a blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.